Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. We are still, thank you, we are still celebrating our Lord's birth. While everything out there seems to be packed away, I don't think I can hear a single Christmas song on the radio anymore, we in the church still celebrate. Because, you know, after all, it really doesn't matter how the secular humanists celebrate this day or this season. What matters is how the church celebrates. Because at least we recognize that this is God in the flesh, born to be our Savior, to bear our sins for us, the sins of the world. He was born to die, and that's exactly what he did. This Jesus is the one that we celebrate. So even though the world doesn't know how to adequately celebrate Christmas, and even though the world might try to steal it and turn it into its own abomination, we in the church will continue to celebrate all 12 days. And we will continue our celebration as the lights of Epiphany and the smoke of frankincense burn. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, the Lutheran Church also remembers a great man, a man who was a pastor, a man who trained young men for the ministry, trained these men because he knew that America needed pastors. A man who never stepped foot in America, a man who lived his whole life in Germany, however, acknowledging that the gospel needed to be proclaimed. This man would also go on to help found the seminary institution in Fort Wayne that I graduated from, that Pastor Bischoff graduated from, that Pastor Gullion graduated from, and so many other faithful men. This man's name is J.K. Wilhelm Lea. I'm going to read to you just a portion of something that he wrote. In worship, the congregation experiences its Lord most intimately. Here it lives in nearest proximity to its groom, in a heavenly life on earth, an earthly life in heaven. Worship is the most beautiful flower of earthly life. Just like land in the middle of an ocean, the word and the sacrament stand in the inner life and worship of the congregation. You have 1 week behind you. A new week lies in front of you. Between these 2 weeks is the day of Communion Sunday. He encourages us to do as God says, and that is to order our lives around Him. That our focus week after week would be to come to this holy place. And while the world sees you get up this morning and probably do some shoveling or snow blowing and thinking, you're crazy, what do you have to do today? And you came here to gather because in this church there is light. The gospel is proclaimed. His message is for you. And that word attaches itself as you remember your baptism daily. That word attaches itself to bread and wine to give the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. That word is proclaimed from the lectern. That word is preached from the pulpit. That word is put into you that you might grow in the faith, that others might hear and be saved. But the world still thinks you're silly. It thinks you're ridiculous. It despised its own creator because it's run by the devil and his minions. It might think that you're ridiculous. It might think that you're silly. And it might despise you as it despises your Lord. But keep in mind these words of St. Peter, words of the man of which our church is named. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. You will have trials. The life of a Christian is not some cushy, yay me every single day. The life of a Christian is following in the footsteps of Jesus the creator of the whole world, the one who was born to die to redeem it, was mocked, ridiculed, and put to death because of his life. They rejected their own creator, redeemer, and the one that would also sanctify them. They rejected the one true God, and they're going to reject you too. But the church has a message that needs to be shared, and the church has a voice that needs to be proclaimed. Because while this world is so occupied following its God, the devil, the church follows the true God. The church proclaims his will from the mountaintops. And even in a world that will despise you for proclaiming it, the truth must be proclaimed. When we look at our gospel lesson, we are reminded of how God protects his Son. How he sent his Son into the world to die and yet chose that this was not the time. And so he protects him. He sends the Holy Family into Egypt, where he had already sent his chosen people to be provided for, to be protected, that they might live when great famine came. That out of Egypt he would call his Son, as Hosea proclaimed. This Herod is one of the most wicked men to have lived. We look at this text and we are reminded of just how wicked he is. A man who was so afraid to lose his kingship that he ordered the slaughter, the murder of every boy 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and its surrounding area. How wicked do you have to be to order the murder of infants? Well, Herod was quite the wicked man. In fact, Herod would also order the death, the murder of his own son and wife for fear that they would usurp his authority. This is a ruthless man. This is a godless man who is not following the true God, but the God that he worshipped, the devil, the father of lies, the one who desires all people to be murdered, that they would be damned with him. Herod despised the truth, and he sought to snuff out its light, thinking, if I can murder all the boys, two and under, for sure I will also capture this child as well. In our world today, though, do we really care about children any more than he did? Do we not continue to watch them be murdered day after day, after they're born, and even before they're born? You have been told that abortion is somehow not something that you are allowed to talk about. It is a woman's right. It is health care. But all of these things are not true. It is murder. It is not safe. It is not okay. And each time a life is ended, sometimes even two. Herod was wicked and evil. He ordered the murder of babies. But is our church still quiet? Is our society any better than it was when Herod ordered this? Since 1973, over 60 million babies in this country alone have been murdered before they ever got to see the light of day. Our world doesn't care about life. Our society doesn't care about children. Give consideration to how far we've gone, how far we've progressed away from the will of God. God is the author of life. He knits together each individual life in the womb of each woman. He does that, and it's magnificent. And yet we legally allow that life to be snuffed out. In our day and age, it has gotten even progressively worse. While I'm very thankful that the Supreme Court has upheld the Texas law, we have state upon state seeking to make it legal until birth. We have an FDA that has now approved getting that pill through the mail, that you don't even have to seek out medical assistance. We have a world that despises life. And it's despised life for some time. Think about how little we care about God's will for our lives. How every young couple is told by the world to plan out your children according to your will, as opposed to letting God be the author, letting Him knit as He sees fit. Do we believe that children are a gift given by Him, and that sometimes He chooses to bless a family with one child, maybe six children, nine, or however many He might choose to bless? Do we really believe He is the author and the giver of those gifts? Or do we think it's about us? I want to read to you today from what is called the Diary of an Unborn Child. I first heard this written by an anonymous author when I watched the movie Roe vs. Wade, and I want to read it to you today. October 5th, today my life began. My parents do not know it yet, but it is I already, and I am to be a girl. I shall have blonde hair and blue eyes. Just about everything is settled, though, even the fact that I shall love flowers. October 19th, some say that I am not a real person yet, that only my mother exists. But I am a real person, just as a small crumb of bread is yet truly bread. My mother is, and I am. October 23rd, my mouth is just beginning to open now. Just think, in a year or so, I shall be laughing and later talking. I know what my first word will be, Mama. October 25th, my heart began to beat today all by itself. From now on, it shall gently beat for the rest of my life without ever stopping to rest. And after many years, it will tire, it will stop, and then I shall die. November 2nd. I am growing a bit every day. My arms and legs are beginning to take shape, but I have to wait a long time yet before those little legs will raise me to my mother's arms, before these little arms will be able to gather flowers and embrace my father. November 12th. Tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. Funny how small they are. I'll be able to stroke my mother's hair with them. November 20th. It wasn't until today that the doctor told Mom that I am living here under her heart. Oh, how happy she must be. Are you happy, Mom? November 25th. My mom and dad are probably thinking about a name for me, but they don't know if I'm a little girl. I want to be called Kathy. I am getting so big already. December 10th. My hair is growing. It is smooth and bright and shiny. I wonder what kind of hair Mom has. December 13th. I am just about able to see. It is dark around me. When Mom brings me into the world, it will be full of sunshine and flowers. But what I want more than anything is to see my mom. How do you look, Mom? December 24th. I wonder if Mom hears the whispering of my heart. Some children come into the world a little sick, but my heart is strong and healthy. It beats so evenly, tup, 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 tup. You'll have a healthy little daughter, Mom. December 28th. Today my mother killed me. It's meant to be heart-wrenching because it is despicable that we allow for this. Day after day, month after month, year after year, this is legal. And we allow it. The church needs to be a voice. We need godly men and godly women to say enough, to stand up, to teach the children that they are the future. That they are a blessing and a heritage as God's word declares. That they will be the generation that finally changes hearts against this abomination and atrocity. We have a long way to go. And I don't know if it ever will change in your lifetime. But that doesn't mean we stop praying. That doesn't mean we stop teaching. Hug your children and grandchildren. Embrace them, hold them near to you, kiss them when they were sick, all of those sorts of things. Embrace them and let them see God through you. Let your light so shine in a godless world. This is sin, and we see it day after day. The message of the gospel is at work, though. The law is proclaimed, and the gospel changes hearts. All of those despicable physicians who year after year have committed this abomination can still be saved. The young women who are convinced into this sin, whether by not knowing or even knowing, can be changed as well. There is still hope for them because as Jesus Christ died for the church, he also died for every sinner, this sin included. And so we proclaim the truth that in pain, in hemorrhaging, in near-death experiences, no matter what a woman might be facing, there is hope. There are plenty of people who will love her child if she doesn't feel like she can. And there is a church that exists to shelter her from the storm. A church that will remind her gently of her sin so that it can also remind her that Jesus Christ went to the cross. The same Jesus that we celebrate his birth went to the cross for her too. We have a reason to be hopeful. We have a reason to be joyous. Jesus Christ was born for us. He has died for us. And he is risen for us. And so the church sings, "Sweet flowerets of the martyr band, plucked by the tyrant's ruthless hand, upon the threshold of the morn, like rosebuds by a tempest torn. Ah, what availed King Herod's wrath? He could not stop the Savior's path. Alone while others murdered lay, in safety Christ is borne away." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.